And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hi, I'm Jason Neal, one of the co-owners of PW United. I must warn you that the Yellow Block podcast contains some strong language and adult themes. So be warned and enjoy.
Hello and welcome to this special episode of the Yellow Block, a PW United podcast. I'm Tim, and a special hello to those of you watching this episode back on YouTube. Now you're not just confined to hearing my gravelly tones in your ears, you can now also see my grey hair in all of its 2K definition glory. What a week it's been at Posh. What a year, I suppose, if you want to go for a dad pun. Not many of us would have guessed what was coming in the last 7 days, but one person probably had a better idea than most. And I'm delighted to say that that person is with us now. That's co-owner Jason Neal. Jason, welcome back to the Yellow Block.
Yeah. Thanks very much. In future, I think we should come back during more calmer waters or calmer times. But anyway, it's
great to certainly be being at the helm of HMS Peterborough has got its choppy waters just now. Most important question of all, nice Christmas, but I guess on top of that, and this is the most important question, how is Fluffy?
Yeah, very good. Asleep at my feet. No doubt we'll make an appearance in the fullness of the time.
Well, that's good. That's all we'll just keep going for as long as it takes for Fluffy to make an appearance. Because yeah, we're
He sleeps a lot, right?
Harry makes his move in the middle. It is a sensational goal. Peterborough United are piling on the penny for Derby. Nick Walsh will be playing championship football next season.
First of all, massive thank you for coming on. And I don't say that as a throwaway comment. I think credit where it's due. You're fully aware that this probably isn't always going to be the most comfortable line of questioning. But yet you've agreed to come on. You and I were chatting via message the other day. And you were very quick to offer to kind of come and explain the thought process and where we're at to the fans just now. So definitely credit where it's due there. Just to kind of surmise the last 7 days for any Posh fans that have incredibly somehow managed to miss the news following a run of bad results. And I guess it's probably a two-parter, this really, in terms of shock factor. First one, Grant McCann was relieved of his position. And it's important that we add that he was sacked from the club. He didn't resign. And then at the same time, in the same statement, we learnt that Darren Ferguson was reappointed to the club for a fourth time. I guess, first of all, Jason, run me through the decision-making process. Where did the idea come from? Who came up with the idea? How was that communicated? How did we get to this point, essentially?
So if we sort of put it into two parts. Firstly, I really enjoyed working with Grant. I've got immense respect for him. He's a thoroughly decent guy, and I had a really good track record before we appointed him, him and Cliff. And I was personally, and Darrell was, we're all very disappointed with the outcome. We tried to give him everything we could within the confines of a League One club. We feel that we pretty much gave him everything he asked for, and unfortunately things didn't work out. And that's not any slight on him. It's not anything to do with his effort. I can't fault his effort and his integrity and his energy. But we're in professional sports. It's a really tough, miserable, terrible industry. You wonder why so many people want to work in it, given the fact that it's so terrible. I mean, if you had a run of bad outcomes in another profession, you'd probably be okay. You'd be, you know, sent to HR and sent on a training course or something to get better. Unfortunately, in professional sports, that's not the case. He, over his League One tenure, the management team lost nearly 50% of the games. If you add up the 11 League One games and the four cup games we lost out of 32 games, I think. So, you know, nearly 50%. In reality, you just can't expect to lose 50% and keep a job. That would be fine if we were a championship team. If we had won 11 games in the first 23, 24 games in the championship, we'd all be taking him out to dinner. But, you know, we're not in the championship. We have pretty much the same squad, and one can make a case of almost a better squad than the one that got promoted. So having made that decision, and we made it after the Wickham game, and, you know, again, it wasn't an easy decision. We've been discussing it for a few weeks, so it wasn't a off-the-cuff decision. Having made that decision, we had to look at who is the best candidate to take the club forward in an interim basis until we could regroup in the summer. And just ignoring the name of Darren Ferguson, if you just park that away, and I want you to imagine that you're the chairman of PUFC and the other Yellow Block participants are on the board. And along comes Bob Smith. And Bob Smith has been promoted five times in his career, in a career of about 15 years, so one in three times. Bob Smith has experience of being parachuted into a League One club in January and getting that club promoted via the playoff. Bob happens to live round the corner, and he happens to have worked with most of the players about 12, 14 months ago and had success with all of those players, or a large cohort of those players. Are you interviewing Bob? I guess the answer is yes. And I apologise, Tim, I've sort of backed you into a corner where the only answer is yes. So we had to look at who was available, who would like the role, and we had to be grown-ups and set aside what fan reaction might be and actually make the best decision for the club, and even if personally that resulted in us getting some negative feedback. We thought it would be better to act for the club despite whatever it brought to us. And I 100% think that appointing Darren for this short tenure was the right decision. And I think we've got a really good chance of getting promoted via the playoffs. He's got history of doing that before. He knows the players. We know how to work with him. You know, instead of work with Dara. So, you know, I think it was the right decision. Only time will tell. You know, and I started my career in software engineering. And software engineering, you could write a program and run a model. And if you didn't like the outcome of the model, you could just change some parameters and rerun the model. And you could keep doing that for weeks until you got the answer you wanted. And you say, okay, that's the program we want to run. Can't do that in business. You can't do that in as a steward of this football club.
Okay, a lot to unpick there. And I do appreciate your honesty and absolutely echo everything that you say about Grant. He will never be known as anything other than an icon at the club, irrespective of what happens with his management career. I don't think there's any fan that didn't want the best for him, and that remains the case now. In terms of the decision-making process specifically, you mentioned it was a discussion you've been having for a few weeks. So is that a, you know, is there an owner's WhatsApp group that you're in? Is it regular phone calls? And who first floated the idea around Darren out of the trio? Whose idea does that land on? Whose desk is that from?
The future of the manager was discussed between the three owners via emails. Randy gave Dara and I the green light to go ahead and make the decision ourselves, which we did.
Okay. So it was, and then it was an organic sort of discussion from yourself and Dara in terms of Darren is the yes. right person for the job there. Okay. Going back to your software example, which is a really good analogy. I do like that. And you mentioned if something isn't working, you change the parameters, you change the code and therefore get a different outcome. I guess, Jason, then we've kept the same parameters. We've gone back to the same code. We've gone back to the same software that we had less than a year ago. We've gone back to version 1.0. Why should we expect the outcome then to be any different this time?
Well, I think you're never going back to 1.0 because Darren's had time to reflect and study all the games and look at what he might have done differently. He's also come back energized. You have to remember that he joined us pre-COVID. We were on a path to be promoted. We would have been promoted in the year that when we had Ivan Toney. I think we would have been promoted automatically. We could have even won the league. It wasn't out of bounds. We had most of our remaining games, I think of the 15 remaining, 9 were at home. I don't think we were scheduled to play another top 6 team in those remaining games when COVID happened. So he's been through that traumatic experience. He's been through 2 years of playing, not playing, playing, not playing in COVID, in front of crowd, then not, and then back. He's got us promoted, and then we started well in the championship. We didn't always get the results that we deserved, but we were in games in the first 10, 15 of those of the league, the championship. We could have got a lot more points, if the game had finished at the 86th minute rather than the 96th minute or 90th or whatever, we would have ended up with another 5 or 10 points. So that takes it out of people. I think he's coming back very energized. And to use the analogy, this software program, if you like, has had success. He's had success twice with us. Three times. He's had success with Doncaster in League Two. So he's had a lot of success.
Yeah, I guess from my sort of pessimistic standpoint, particularly around Darren, I think I mentioned this to you in a message, is it not the definition of madness to keep following the same blueprint and expecting the same results? I absolutely agree that we all know performances will improve now under Darren. We know that he's a League One winner. We know that he has the ability to find that extra percentage out of players at this league. And I think most fans, ironically, are probably quite optimistic about the second half of the season now. So it seems strange that there's this kind of negative undertone to the appointment. You mentioned...
You answered your own question, though. You said, yes, the definition of madness is to keep repeating the same thing. But in the next breath, you said, well, we've been promoted lots of times. We've had lots of success. So one could make the argument that repeating the same process is sensible, given the fact that it's had lots of success in the past.
Sensible, perhaps, for League One, but I think the vast majority of the fan base, and again, I'm maybe sort of generalising there, we're ready for that next step. We're ready to sustain ourselves at that next step. The work that particularly yourself has done off the pitch has put the club at that level. So yes, Darren can probably get us out of League One, whether that happens this year or not, I don't know. But having him in place feels counterproductive to taking that next step because we've never managed it under his stewardship at that next level.
Well, we were in the championship for 2 years successfully, and one could argue with about 54 points, you shouldn't have got relegated. So one can argue that we could have gone on from there. It was just an incredibly bad set of circumstances that facilitated the club being relegated with, I think, the record number of points, right? So, you know, we can debate this, and I'd be happy to do it at any time, right? But I still think it's the right decision. What Darren does or what we do in the event that we are promoted at the end of the season is really up for us to decide at that time. And you know, he hasn't signed on a long-term contract. He signed on a short-term contract until the end of the season. And we'll just see where we are.
Okay. So that was one of my questions. You can, I know there's, you know, I don't need the specifics, but Darren is signed at the club until the summer and no further at this point.
That's correct. Yeah.
Are there clauses within that contract that were he to, for example, get promoted, that would be extended? Or would it be a case of it will always need renegotiation in the summer, depending on where we find ourselves?
It's just a contract until the summer.
Until the summer. Okay, that's fine. Okie dokie. And you mentioned as well about you knew that perhaps there would be a mixed reception to the news. I guess there's the two parts to this. You mentioned to me that you... it coincided with a social media break, so you've maybe not been privy to too much that's been happening on social media. But it's interesting that you did know that it would perhaps ruffle a few feathers amongst the fan base. When you are making these decisions at board level, is there a voice in there from the fans, and is consideration perhaps given to how it's received?
Well, firstly, we're all fans, and it's impossible to be in this business without being a fan. I can remember my first ever game with Southampton, and I can remember arriving at 1:30, about a mile from the ground, the Dell as it was there, walking to the Dell, the noise building and the smell of all the beef burgers and things like that. I can remember the smell of the freshly cut grass at like 2:30 when the lawnmowers had just left and the players had come out to warm up. So I've got a vivid memory of that. I've been a football fan my entire life. So whilst there isn't a voice from the PUFC fans, which we are looking at, and there will be some initiatives announced in due course, although the CEO has told me I'm not allowed to steal his thunder and announce anything. So I'm not going to do that, but there will be positive news on that. But, you know, it's important to remember that we're all fans, so you know, we've all been involved in football on both sides of the business for a number of years. So it wasn't a surprise. But we have to do what's right for the club. And I will say a lot of people have contacted us saying that's a really sensible decision. We can't understand why the fans are complaining. And it's football, so you know, Darren wins 3 games out of the next 4. And your podcast will be talking about something else. What a masterstroke by the owner.
It would, to be fair, it would. But the thing is, I don't think anybody would be surprised if we now go on a decent run. I think, ironically, we'd actually be more surprised if we didn't, such as what we expect at this level from Darren. He almost comes in with a higher expectation than a no manager, for example. You mentioned about being a fan, obviously, being a Saints fan. So you know how much it hurts when you are perhaps ridiculed by other clubs. Now, we would expect this by Cambridge and MK Dons, Northampton, the rivals. You would expect it. You know, we could get Pep Guardiola in charge and they would still find a problem with it. But just a few examples here of comments found just off the original tweet online from the club. So for an Ipswich fan, they've become a bit of a banter club. Shrewsbury fan, odd choice. From the outside looking in, it shows desperation and lack of ambition. I guess more so a lack of funds. A Liverpool fan, no idea why they're getting involved. Where's his incentive to do well? He knows he'll be back in a job when it goes wrong. A Gillingham fan, I thought we had it bad. At least we can recognise when something isn't working. Now, I know it's our train set and we don't need to worry what, you know, Ipswich fans or Gillingham fans are thinking. But as a fan, it hurts when we are ridiculed like that. We've been made a bit of a meme. Paddy Power, Sky Sports, Football Manager, they've all had digs over these last few weeks. And it shouldn't bother us, but it does as fans. Does that factor in to the decision-making process for you?
Well, I mean, it bothers us too. We've put up... There's rarely a day when I'm not involved in some BUFC business. I was on a short holiday with my family. Every day we were skiing, and every day started with about an hour or two of Peterborough business. which I have to say my teenage girls are quite happy with because they managed to sleep in a bit longer than they would have been normally. But yeah, I mean, it bothers us, but I think it will pass really quickly. Yeah, you know, the great thing about football is it's a results business. If we have positive results, and I think we will, this will all pass really quickly.
I hope you're right, and I'm sure you are. My sort of observation over these last 12 months is that as things have started to change at the club in terms of any negative outcomes, so for example, when Grant started to maybe not find the results that we were hoping for, the scrutiny for once started to turn towards the ownership. And I've not really seen that in sort of the last decade. Well, really all of Darragh's tenure, to be fair. It's always been the manager at fault or the players. But when this was announced last week, it very much switched. And again, if you've not been on social media, maybe you won't have seen this too much. It very much switched to real scrutiny and pressure towards the three of you guys. And there's been a lot of negativity around the ownership. Granted, most of it has been aimed at Darragh, but you and Randy haven't been immune from that. Some of the stuff that's been said online is rather unsavoury. Yes, some of it is emotive, and people will, of course, you know, get through that and be slightly more positive. But do you worry that that scrutiny and pressure will start to build were the direction of the club not to change in a more positive light?
Yeah, so let me sort of address those in order. Firstly, on Grant and the Championship, I think if we'd had another three or four games, we would have stayed up. You know, those last 10 games, we had real good form. I think I remember reading a stat that we were sixth or seventh in the form of results over a five-game block at one point in that last 10 games. So I think we would have caught Reading with, you know, another three, four games. It's unfortunate, but, you know, that's football. You're right. I'm on a 30-day break from social media, and that wasn't deliberately meant to coincide with this these course of events. I always try to do things for the start of the year, and this was one of them. I think any criticism of Darragh is really unfair. You know, he's been at the club 17 years now. I think he puts his heart and soul and all his expertise and a lot of energy into Peterborough United. It's obviously difficult to know where we would be without him, but I can't imagine it would be a better place. So I'm personally delighted he's decided to stay on. I've got a really good working relationship with him and a friendship with him, so I'm very happy about that. We are completely different people. You couldn't ask for two different people, but I actually have a lot of respect and I like him a lot, so I'm glad he's staying. And if there's pushback on us, well, you know, we're all grown-ups. I think results will come. And, you know, being a football fan, you know that it's a results business, and once the team start to score goals and win matches, that'll make a lot of difference.
Okay, so you're not feeling the pressure so much just now. I guess not being on social media probably helps that, but you don't feel the pressure at the moment from the fans.
No, the only pressure I felt this week was I was on a ski trip and my 20-year-old daughter is a really good skier, and it was foggy, and she decided to take me off-piste down double blacks off cliffs. And that was a little pressure because I was like, I can't actually see where I'm going. I know it's bad, but I don't know how bad. But no, so I haven't felt the pressure. I'm actually really excited. We got a lot of good things happening. You shouldn't forget that Randy and I have been in this business for 5 years now. Two and a half of that was COVID. So in a real operating period of 2.5, maybe 3 years, the club has bought back the stadium under the same ownership group. We've achieved Cat 2 status for our academy. We've had a year in the Championship. We think we can bounce back. So we've done a lot of good things. We've grown the fan base. I can't remember. I remember reading a statistic saying the fan base is up by 22 or 23% in the last 5 years. And that's primarily down to our beloved Peter Burrows bouncing around schools all over Cambridgeshire and everywhere. And if you've ever had a chance to see him in action, he's quite something. So, you know, we've done a lot. There's still a lot to do. The other day, we had five players from our academy and development squad in the first team. That makes me so proud, because when I announced our goal is to have three players graduate a year, people laughed at me. Absolutely laughed at me. You know, so.
But you've achieved it.
We've achieved it. Will we continue to achieve it? I hope so. We've got the infrastructure and staff in place. On the stadium, we are at a really successful meeting with the council, with Wayne Fitzgerald, pre-Christmas, and he's fully supportive of a multi-purpose conference football stadium. And we are preparing right now to submit Redline applications for that. Will it go in the next 2 weeks or the next month? I don't know, but it'll be in that period.
Will that be on the embankment, do we think, now?
Yes, yeah. It'll be an application for land on the embankment. And, you know, I get it. Football's an immediate business, so people say, what's going on with the stadium, blah, 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 nothing seems to happen. Well, you know, we don't play out conversations with finances or with the city in a public forum, but we are making progress. The next step is for us to submit an application, which is near complete.
One of the comments that's come up quite a lot this week in sort of posh circles is around the ownership in terms of the relationship between the three of you. One particular comment seems to come up quite a lot, which is that Randy, this is a quote, not my personal views. Randy is no longer interested because the stadium is off the table. Again, that's paraphrased, but that's a feeling that's amongst the fan base. Any truth in that at all?
Well, as I mentioned, we had very successful meetings with the city pre-Christmas, and we're preparing a submission for land use, which is the first step. We're doing that right now, and that will be a very positive step. I can't give you a timeline on when that will happen, but it will happen in the very near term.
Okay.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And the relationship between the three of you, is that still positive? All swimming in the right direction?
It's a working relationship. Randy's taken a bit of a back seat, which is fine. I've still got a lot of respect for him. I've enjoyed working with him, and I wish him nothing but success.
I want to read a tweet to you, Jason, if I may. I would be very surprised if you haven't heard about this. It was a bit of a bombshell that dropped on Friday. A fan tweeted Randy and said, "Did you have any say in firing McCann, or are you just a silent partner now?" To which Randy replied, "I wasn't consulted and I'm not a silent partner. Interesting times." What's your take back on that?
Yeah, as I say, I'm not on Twitter, but someone did send me that tweet. It's interesting. You can not be on social media for a month, but we'll still send you social media. And we're driving back from our ski trip, and I'm in the back of the car, and so I go on Twitter to look at it, and my wife says, "I thought you were off Twitter for a month."
Dispensation, but this week it's been an eventful week. I think you're
Time. So, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we had discussions about what to do in, with a run of bad results via email, and Randy gave us the green light to go ahead and make the decision, which we did.
If the stadium was not an option, so if when you first looked at buying into Peterborough United, the stadium wasn't a thing, let's say we had a brand new stadium, do you think yourself and Randy would have been as interested in the proposition?
Well, I can't speak for Randy, but yes. I mean, we didn't imagine building a new stadium on Embankment or elsewhere. We imagined, could we, and we went for a big exercise of this, could we upgrade London Road? So what could we do to make London Road a more attractive stadium? I mean, some very, I love a stadium. You know, it gives me great pride to be there. But there's some very frustrating parts about it. You know, it's hard to create an experience in all of the stadium that would be applicable for families. We're not prohibited to play a certain level international matches, for example. So we wanted to host some of the women's Euros matches, but because of the structure of the stadium, specifically the gap between the pitch and the stand and various other access points, we didn't meet the criteria, so we weren't allowed to bid. We would have won. We would have been one of the hosting. It would have been great for the city. Mm. So there's a lot of challenges. It's difficult to make secondary revenues from the stadium, from London Road as it is. So we wanted to do a lot of things with that. We never imagined that we would build or be planning to build a new stadium. So I don't think it really played into our interest. My goal was simply, you know, to Peterborough is very attractive because there's no real competitors for youth players in the area. If you look at how many clubs are in a 40-minute to 50-minute radius of our academy, it's not many. It's not like being in London or somewhere like Manchester or somewhere where you've got slews of competitors around you. You don't have that. We have Cambridge.
We're not really a competitor either, let's be honest. They're, you know, not quite on the same. But that's the fan in me talking.
No, I'm just not going to get it. I met the owner of Cambridge, and a very nice gentleman. I wish him nothing but success, apart from when we play them next.
Apart from when we play them. No, of course.
So I think April the 15th or 16th, something like that.
Yes. Actually, I did see one interesting tweet, which made me giggle, which basically said, can we just play Cambridge now and end the season because there's nothing else to play for, which I thought was quite a negative view, but did make me giggle slightly. That's the kind of tone that we've seen on social media. That's what you've been missing. One of the accusations that's been levied as well is transparency with the fans. Now, I guess my pushback on that would be, you know, you're here now, and it's important that the listener base knows you messaged me about 10 minutes prior to coming on saying, ask me anything. As long as there's no legal implications, let's just talk about anything. So I think it's important the fan base know that, and that you are transparent, at least with me. Do you feel that as an ownership, you are transparent enough with the fan base?
Yes. I mean, we you have to remember that not everybody follows Twitter. So, for example, in our household, I'd be the only one of the four of us on Twitter. The others are on different social media channels or not. So not every fan, in fact, I'd be surprised if it's more than 20% of them are on Twitter. So I don't actually think that Twitter is the best medium to relay information. I mean, we're available for the fans podcast, so the Yellow Block. We're available to Alan Swan at any time. Alan Swan sends me messages probably once a week. Is there any truth in this, or can you comment on something else? And we always try to comment on it. So I think those are better mediums to reach our supporter base rather than being selective to a limited number of I think you have to put it into context. You know, if we look at, you know, our rivals in League One, do you feel that there's more information flowing out of them, out of the ownership group? I'd be surprised if anybody could really justify that accusation.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. No, I would agree with that. I know that, you know, obviously you and I perhaps have that relationship that, that maybe not every fan has with a with an owner, but it's even prior with when it was just Darren and it was just his, you know, plaything, he was always very transparent, perhaps sometimes a little bit too much. I guess along the lines of transparency, if we talk about respect, and I don't mean Aretha Franklin, just a little bit of respect. Do you, if we do this both ways, first of all, do you feel the fans give you guys enough respect?
Yes.
Okay.
And so, then, I'll give you an example. I've been in London on a train and people have come up to talk to me. I've been on a tube station in London and other Peterborough fans have come up to talk to me. I was in Qatar and I met some Peterborough fans there. We were very, you know, happy and enthusiastic. You know, I met one of them who I would describe as a part-time Peterborough fan coming back from Qatar. I was flying into England and I'd happened to seen him the day we lost to Ipswich and the day England lost to France. He said, "How are you?" I said, "Oh, well, yeah, that last Saturday has to be my worst day in football." And he said, "Ah, it's okay. You know, there are," and he made a really valid comment, which is, "There are worse things going on in the world than watching England or Peterborough lose a football match."
Yeah, that's very true. Very true.
Yeah, so we should be worried about, you know, wars and recession and heating and cost of living crises. So.
Yeah, it's very true. And but football remains that escapism for a lot of us, and I guess that's why we're so passionate. And I, you know, you're old enough to know that. That's why I think a lot of the time there is that pushback against the ownership and there's quite an emotive response to certain news stories that come out of the club because it is our escapism and we all have our own opinion and the way that it should be run and so on and so forth, which I guess is where that comes from. I guess it's a two-sided street. So, you know, you feel as though that the fans give you guys enough respect. Do you think that as an ownership, that's the same the other way? And I guess specifically what I'm referring to here is, I guess around Dara and his, "I'm leaving, no, I'm not leaving, yet I'm leaving, no, I'm not leaving." It can come across sometimes like he's trolling us a little bit, like he's maybe taking the mick. There's been questions around integrity perhaps in the past. Do you feel there's enough respect comes back the other way?
I hope so. I mean, I know that Dara has nothing but positive and good intentions. And I think you'd struggle to find another chairman that works as hard for the club. And, you know, and the fact that he loves it so much is probably a disadvantage to him. He would probably be better off not loving it so much. But, you know, that's what we've got. And I think we should be grateful for what we've got. So, you know, I feel like we have a lot of respect for the fans. We're going to try to improve that. But again, I'm not allowed to mention what we're trying to do under pain of getting told off from our interim CEO.
Okay, so exciting developments to come. Watch this space is the sound clip from...
I honestly think there's going to be a lot of exciting developments over the next 6 months. Okay. So I think it, you know, we're going to really change the mood. It's going to be a positive time. There's things we can't control, which are unfortunately on the pitch. But, you know, we've done and we will continue to support the managers as best we can.
I do hope you're right, Jason. And you know, again, it goes back to that escapism and how we desperately need that. From a personal point of view, this season has been probably one of the hardest as a Posh fan. And I say that only in as much as I've ended up quite apathetic about the club. I don't know if it's because of the World Cup being in the middle of it or our performances perhaps didn't quite reach what we hoped when we dropped down and kept the core of that squad. But it's been that first year where I've not started looking forward to the weekend on a Wednesday because it's the football, just because it's the weekend. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, there's been times where it's been almost a chore having to go and watch the club play. And I never wanted to get to that stage. So I really, really hope you're right about a turnaround in fortunes and things changing. Obviously, Darren, we know, will play his style.
I think we have to remember that we essentially have the same squad, less Dembele and Sammy, that got promoted. But you could argue it's a better squad because you've got people like Jack Marriott, Randall, Boku, Clark Harris. Our kids are much older than they were. So, you know, Ricky and Harrison didn't really feature in that promotion run. They're now, you know, fully fledged players. So you can argue we've got a better squad than the one that got promoted, and we've got the same manager that got us promoted. And you know, these are professional athletes. They want to win. So whether Darren is here for 1 minute or 10 years, and that's not a plan, by the way. So before you... I think they'll give it everything in a 22-game season. I really do.
I agree. However, there is a caveat, and it's my job to kind of put these points to you. After Fergie left before, after Darren left before, he was quite critical of the resources that were given to him. And there was also criticism of him from the player base. Do you feel enough time has passed, bearing in mind it's less than 12 months, for those bridges to be repaired and recrossed?
Oh, God, this is the most... I want to find the right word. I want to say fickle, but it's been fickle in a nice way. Industry that I've ever known in my entire life. Like I'm still good friends with Steve Evans. After Grant and Cliff left last week, I was texting back and forth with them. I would have dinner with them tomorrow, and I'm sure they would. So I don't think anybody will hold any ill feelings with anybody. Players or managers or owners. It's just an incredibly get over the disappointment and move on industry.
So you, at the moment, you feel he would have the full backing of the players that seem to down tools a little bit for him before?
I do. And as I said earlier on, if in those first 10 games in the championship, we were pretty close to getting a lot more points than we ended up with.
Okay.
You know, we had a lot of unfortunate outcomes right at the end where we conceded a goal in the last few minutes, or two goals in the last few minutes.
When Darren did his interview with the club, with Phil Adlam the other day, which I thought actually was a fantastic interview, the way that Phil ran that, and it was nice to see Darren so energised and ready for it again. You can see that passion's back in his eyes. He mentioned in that interview that he feels, as a fan base, we need to inject some realism into the club. And direct quote, except that every time we're in the championship, we're lucky to be there. What I take from that is that he's insinuating that we're punching above our weight, and that we are a sound League One club, but that we don't have the resources. And again, I'm taking this in context with what he said when he left before, to sustain life in the championship. Is that something you would agree or disagree with?
Well, I think you have to remember our supporter base is a lot less than many of our competitors. And that number of supporters directly drives revenue, which is a correlation with the players that we can recruit and retain. We're trying to close the gap. So we've certainly grown the supporter base. I think, as I mentioned before, it's 20 or 22%, something like that. We've grown the supporter base in the last few years. We've dramatically improved our academy so that we can develop our own players rather than having to purchase them. And the long-term goal of the club is to have a multi-purpose stadium, which will, again, drive revenues. So, you know, these are the three things that we're trying to do. It's not an overnight fix. I think if we can have success with them, then we will be able to sustain a championship run. We weren't that far away last season. You know, again, if in those first 10 games, we played well and we were unfortunate not to get the points that we probably deserved. And during Grant's tenure, another 3-4 games, we would have stayed up. We would have caught Reading. And then we would have built on that.
Do you think, though, Jason, that perhaps there's a danger of the ownership? And I include yourself and Dara in this, really. Building expectations up too much and putting too much pressure on the playing staff and the management. And I think back to every season, Dara tells us that we've bought the next best thing and that we're going to win the Champions League with, you know, 7 games in hand. But likewise, when you and I have spoken pre-seasons, it's always been positive and optimistic, which is great. Of course it is. But could there be any saying in, for example, next time we get promoted, going, do you know what? We're just here to have fun. We're just here. And if we survive, great. But we're just here to have fun so that we go into that with no expectations. And because it feels to me like there's an odds between what Darren is saying and what the ownership is saying. I get that the aim is to aim high. But what Darren is alluding to, at least my take on it, is that we can't achieve that. We can't reach that high. At the moment, that is well beyond our reach. That's how I perceive what Darren says.
Yeah, I mean, I think that your interpretation of what Darren said is probably wrong. I don't believe that's what he says. Okay. I think what he's saying is, you know, we are in a tough league, and you have to look at the clubs in our league right now. You know, Sheffield, Charlton, Portsmouth. I mean, these are big teams that have been in the Premier League and had success. So it's tough. Ipswich, you know, I mean, it's just littered with teams with massive fan bases, big history and pedigree, and we have outperformed many of them on many occasions. So no one's underestimating how difficult it is, but it is possible.
Around fan bases, and I don't think anyone would disagree, but if we look at the likes of Bournemouth, Blackpool, Rotherham, Hull, potentially. These are teams with fan bases similar to what we get at Posh, if not less, in the case of like Bournemouth, for example, that are a Premiership team. What's their key? What's their secret? Surely there's more to it than just a fan base, because they've been able to sustain life at a higher level for a long period of time.
Well, Bournemouth had significant financial backing, so they're sort of an oddity. And you know, Hull, I would say that their fan base is bigger than ours. Although their budget was not dissimilar to ours in the Championship, and they had success. And I feel like we were close to success. Unfortunately, it's a very black and white binary business, right? You're either successful or you're not. There's no. It's not like you're a salesperson working for a major company and you were the fifth best salesperson of the year, and you can say, well, you know, I wasn't the winner, but I've still got a big bonus and I still did really well. You're rather successful or you're not. So that, you know, that's the black and white nature of the business.
Of course, and you're right with those clubs, but and I know that each club is unique and individual in the circumstances around it, but I look at a club like for example Luton, much lower fan base, or at least a fan base on par with our stadium that is dated. They haven't got the facilities that we do. And yet they sustain Championship football to the point that they're pushing for the playoffs each year now. And it's probably only a matter of time before they themselves are a Premiership team.
So I went to our first game in the Championship when we lost 3-0 to Luton. And, very disappointing day. Particularly as Alex Ferguson joined us for lunch, and the first thing he did is reach over and straighten my tie and say, your tie is not straight, young man.
Oh, really?
which my wife and daughter thought was amazing, very amusing. and the owners of Luton came to talk to us at the end and said, listen, this is a tough league. All you got to do is survive and build for that. It's going to be tough for the first 10 or 20 games, but just hang in there like we did and you'll be okay. Unfortunately, we didn't. And, you know, that's what Luton was successful in. I don't remember where they finished in their first season, but I believe it was near the bottom. They just scraped through to survival almost on the last day, if I remember. Mm. And unfortunately, we didn't. We tried to fix it in January with free player training, but it was difficult to attract players to come and play for us because we were in a precarious position. So you were sort of caught in this vortex, if you like. We wanted players, but we couldn't recruit them because players would look at us and say, well, do I want to go there? I'd rather go to a League One club and get promoted and have a promotion on my CV.
Fair enough. That makes sense. And I suppose that's the blueprint to follow, though, somebody like Luton in terms of getting your claws into the league and slowly sort of working your way up. The bond money is another issue that's come up quite a lot recently. Has that money been well invested in the club? Is there still available? Are investors still secure with what they put into the club? Where are we at with the bond money just now?
Yes, firstly, investors are secure. They bought a financial product, and that financial product is paying out a return as per the offering memorandum. We had three projects we envisaged. We completed one of them. We chose the safe standing because at that point we had no choice, because we had to pull the, we had to press the start button on one project. We chose safe standing because at that point we were still in the championship and still had a realistic chance of staying in the championship. We're now progressing the other two projects. As I mentioned earlier, we're about to submit the red line application for the stadium to the council. You can have that as a yellow block scoop, because no one else knows that other than Wayne Fitzgerald. He's been very supportive of our process. You're lucky to have him. And I don't know if you're a Tory voter, but anyway, I mean, from my stance, you're lucky to have him. We have designed ongoing for updating the forum. The reality is we're a League One club. We can only really do one project at a time. We've done one. We've now moved on to starting the other two.
Fab. So the takeaway is stadium is still go. There's no, perhaps the time frame is maybe slightly slower than what we initially envisaged, but the stadium is still the aim. The train is leaving the station for that.
Yeah, I mean, the time frame is exactly as I envisaged. I was said it would be a 10-year project.
Okay.
And if you look at other stadiums, that's a typical time frame it takes. And it's not like building Barrett Holmes building a home, or someone like that. Western Homes, I should use that as an example. Western Homes building an amazing block of super apartments. That's a much quicker endeavor than us.
Okay. Than the stadium. January, transfer window's open, probably an ideal time for Darren to come back into the club. A bit of a gap as well with the FA Cup this weekend, so no action for Posh.
Yeah, so I just had to send my friend Steve Evans a congratulations text.
Yeah, they were fantastic. A proper smash and grab at Villa, which is what we like to see. All I would just say on a personal note is, if we're rehiring managers, as much as I appreciate Steve's a friend, can we maybe not include that one in the carousel of rehiring managers? But that's, just a personal.
I mean, I like all the managers, I enjoyed working with him. He's a fantastic company. I don't think he suits the brand of football that we wanted. But, you can't fault his success.
No, and it was probably time to try something new and fresh. It was just unfortunate that it didn't work out that way. It's January though, so the transfer window is open. We've seen one incoming with Will Norris coming in, so we've now got approximately 18,000 goalkeepers in the first team. Does Darren have?
There's only four.
No, I know. We've got Christie, Will Blackmore, the three lone goalkeepers. Presumably, Christie will be on his way soon. I don't know, but in any case, does Darren have money to spend should he need it in January?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we have to remember we're a League One club, so, our cloth has to be cut accordingly. And Dara is working really hard on that. We have a number of targets in mind. But Darren would tell you himself, it's not a time for dramatic changes. I mean, he essentially has a squad that got promoted.
Yeah.
And on paper, a better squad that got promoted. You have two golden boot winners in that squad. You have players on the wing that should frighten any League One team. You have a pretty solid midfield. I don't think we've seen the best of Randall. I think he's going to be, I still believe he's going to be a fantastic player. You have a good squad. I think hiring recruiting an experienced goalie will help. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there'll be others as well.
Okay, so he's got that money there. Strange dynamic, though, Jason. If he's on this 6-month contract, he's only here till the summer, as in Darren's only here till the summer. Must make January recruitment strange, because there's no signings for the long term. It's very much for the here and now.
I think we have a lot of players that we believe are long term development opportunities. which is consistent with what the club has done over a number of years. And again, I don't think that Darren will want to sign a lot of players in January. You know, he has a good squad. He knows the players very well. He's had success with them in the past. They all want to be successful. Like if you're in any job, you want to be successful. You don't want to be not successful.
Okay.
Even if you're a professional.
Yeah, so you feel that the squad that he's got at the moment is more than capable of achieving what we're hoping for from that next 6 month period.
Yeah, we're with some additions.
Okay, and does he have have you laid out expectations for Darren? Is it a case of right, you need to get us into the play, you need to do this, or is it just a steady the ship job?
He's laid out his own expectations, which is to get us in the playoffs and win.
And win the playoffs. It would be lovely to have a playoff final.
He's done that before, right?
He has, and it was probably the greatest day of my life. Sorry, my daughter would resent that. It was probably the second greatest day of my life. But no, it was the first. I'm only joking. It was fantastic. I lost my shirt that day. I never did find it. It's somewhere in Old Trafford's lost property, I'm quite sure. It was great. And it would be nice to have that again. I'd much rather, of course, take the automatics, but that's maybe looking slightly out of touch just now. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we have to be pragmatic, and that opportunity is probably gone. However, the team that wins the playoffs is rarely the third place team.
No, that's very true. That is very true. It's often the team that sneaks in on the last game, isn't it, and goes up by PPG. We've moved on. We're past that now. That's no longer.
And I would fancy us with our wingers and our pace at Wembley. So if we can get there, on a big pitch. You'd fancy, Ricky or Poku or
Harrison to pop up with a winner in the 90th minute as a number 10.
With all that space, you'd fancy us, right?
Well, the thing is, you never know in one game, do you? I'm not sure that I'm grey enough as it is. Somebody in their 30s, I'm not sure I could take the playoffs again. But it would be certainly an achievement were we to get there. I think if I'm honest, I think for me. And I think some of the fan base that I move with, just an improvement in performances would be great, because we all know that squad is good enough. We know that squad is good enough for automatics if we could start over again and have the season again. I think it was the fact that with Grant, as no indictment on him or his ability, but we never, even when we were winning, it never really felt like we were getting the tune out of the players. You'd often win, but you didn't really feel like you'd won the game. And that would be nice. And I think Darren, you mentioned about the style of football and the brand of football. Darren absolutely has that in terms of the way that we like to play and be entertained. One thing that I see other clubs mentioning a lot, well, and some of our own fans, to be fair, is that only certain managers can work with Darren. Why is that, if that's the case? Why do you think that is?
Well, I've only been in, I think this is about to start our 6 year soon. And we've had three managers. They've all worked successfully, or three different people worked successfully with Darren and the other owners during that time. So I wouldn't necessarily agree with that comment. I can't comment, obviously, on what happened before. But when we came in, Steve Evans was just being appointed, and he worked successfully with him for a couple of years, and then with Ferguson, and then with Grant, and hopefully with Ferguson again.
Hopefully with Ferguson again. It's I don't know. I mean, my we recorded an emergency pod, if you like.
Yeah, I just listened to it. And I was like, oh my god! And now I'm gonna. It's like going in to face the Lions.
Yeah, and I was. I won't lie. I wrote a message to you several times, kept deleting it because I couldn't write a message without it coming across as unprofessional or offensive. So in the end, I just wished you Happy New Year because that was the safer option. I won't lie. It would be wrong of me to. I was really disappointed on Thursday when the news broke. Was it? I think it was Thursday the news broke. I was really. Frustrated. It felt like a real misstep by the club. It felt like a one step forward in terms of recognizing that change was needed, but two steps back in terms of going back to a manager that that it didn't work with before. However, since the days have passed and we've got to, you know, the end of the weekend, I do feel more positive, and I think there will be other fans that echo that, because we know that performances will improve. I think the reassurance around the fact that this is temporary is helpful. And that's not that we don't love Darren, because as a fan base, of course we do. He's achieved so much at the club. But I think we know it's time for a change longer term. I think that's why, me personally, I was frustrated that it was kind of going back to what you know. It's like that. It's like when you get back with an ex-girlfriend, and I've fallen into this trap before. You forget all the bad stuff, don't you? And you think, no, it didn't work because of X, Y, Z, but we can fix that. And then, you know, 6 months later, you find yourself back in the same situation that you were originally. And I want to get off that roller coaster. I want to get off that merry-go-round of we get promoted and we're really optimistic and we're going to stay up and this is it. This is it. We're going to survive in the championship. No, back down we've come. Yeah, and so, I know you guys want to as well. I do.
Let's focus on trying to get promoted. I think that has to be the key, right? And we can worry about everything else in the event. And we shouldn't underestimate how difficult that is.
Absolutely.
Even if we are successful in getting to the playoffs, and I think we will, it's not far from a lottery at that point.
Yeah, and I like a gamble, so we'll take that.
I'm not allowed to gamble, so...
No, of course. No, that's very true. That's very true. It's the thing is, Jason, you have a really good way of answering pragmatically but positively, which is quite a unique talent. It makes it very hard to be as emotive as perhaps I was when the news broke. But that's a good thing, right? Because
I'm excited. I mean, you know, Darren's delivered success on multiple occasions. And recently with the same set of players. So how can you argue against that?
Well, my argument back against that would be that he also failed with the same group of players, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, he achieved success, but the same group of players failed him.
That was at a different level with clubs with much bigger budgets and, you know, many of which... I mean, I can remember when we played Bournemouth. I think it was 0-0, that home, the Bournemouth. Against Bournemouth, and one of their players came off like in the 85th minute and just smashed the boards, the advertising boards by the side with his foot, repeatedly kicked it. So frustrated. I can't remember who it was, but and I'm not going to mention it on the podcast, but it was a very experienced international player. And we just basically shut down Bournemouth, who you know, went on to get promoted.
Yeah.
So we were not that far away. Had we survived, we would have been a different set of circumstances, I'm sure.
I do agree, but I also think back 12 months to being stood there on a Tuesday night in Birmingham, absolutely freezing cold, watching drivel, thinking we're miles away from this league. But I take your point, because you were right. The first 10 games, we were at the races. For some of those first games. You are quite right with that. We didn't get a chance to record because of the New Year break. And to be honest, we didn't think a lot would happen because we didn't have many matches in the diary. But that didn't turn out to be the case. In any case, it meant that we didn't get a chance to do our December Player of the Month. So I wondered, Jason, if you would do the honours of giving us a Yellow Block Player of the Month for December. And it can't be Grant McCann, is all I would add.
So I'm going to give it to Will Blackmore.
Okay.
And the reason was, obviously, the Wickham game occurred in the new year, so it doesn't count for December. So he played two games. He was called in unexpectedly because of illness with our first-choice goalkeeper at the time. Conceded one goal in two games. It was instrumental for us getting those 4 points we got over those two games. So I'm going to give it to him.
I will take that. Will Blackmore, you are a recipient of the Ivan Toney Player of the Month Award. So I will take that. Just wrapping up, Jason. I mean, I fully appreciate your honesty. Like we said at the start, you deserve credit for facing some rather uncomfortable questions head on. Is there anything that you would want to add, anything you want the fans to know right now?
I don't think so. I mean, let's get behind the team. The club has a history of playing exciting football. I'm sure that's going to return to us. We've got 22 games. We've got nothing to lose. You know, if we finish fourth or fifth, we avoid the third place team, and then we probably play that team at Wembley on a big pitch with all of our pace. And we've got a great chance. Let's enjoy it.
That's the optimism that we like. I was going to wrap up by saying, what do you need from us as supporters going forwards? But you've pretty much answered that there, which is just get behind the team, right?
Fill the stands and get behind the team. Make a lot of noise against Portsmouth, because you know I'll be at two or three games this month, and of course I'll be at the Portsmouth game, and I anxiously watched Tottenham versus Portsmouth yesterday, thinking, oh god, if Portsmouth somehow win, that game's going to get cancelled.
Oh, of course, yes, and being a Southampton fan, of course, Portsmouth for your...
There was nothing I enjoy much more than watching Peterborough beat Portsmouth, and I've been privileged to see it a few times.
I think Peterborough beating Portsmouth fills me with some sort of like trauma, though, because it was my last memory prior to COVID. It was, came away from that game thinking that's possibly the best I've ever seen them play. And then, yeah, COVID happened. So maybe we won't have a repeat of that perhaps quite so much.
But... No, I hope not.
Fingers crossed. Thank you to Jason for giving up his time, and thank you for listening. Hopefully together we've been able to answer any burning questions you may have had as a fan of the club at the moment. If you get 2 seconds, please do like and rate this podcast, and don't forget it's also up on YouTube should you wish to see us as well as hear us. Thanks for listening, and up the posh.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.